Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to read down to verse 8 from verse 1, and then look at one piece. Nothing sophisticated, just a thought to take with you tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, in case you didn't know, Ziklag is where David was living when he was in exile from Saul. He was there with his family and his 600 men and their families and all their possessions. It was a house out in the country that was given to him by King Achish, and it remained with the kings in Judah after all this happened. David and his men were going to go and fight with Achish against Israel. The lords of the Philistines said, he can't do this. You need to go back to town. They were only gone 3 days, and in that period of time they were gone, the Amalekites came in and ransacked the city, burned it with fire, took their families and all of their possessions. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And they did. And they did, as you read the rest of the story. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit, please. In times of deep distress like David and his men experienced here, what we've learned, Father, is no better place in the entire universe to turn than to you. Help us to learn something from this lesson tonight by which we can live and from which we can be encouraged for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Just some comments about this, really. Just something that's very simple, something that's very important for us. You got to imagine for just a minute what it was like when David came back. He had already been run out of the country by Saul. And in essence, he didn't have to leave the country. The Lord had been taking him there, but he got tired of running. He'd had all the javelins thrown at him he wanted thrown at him. He had met Saul in enough caves and had enough run-ins with other people telling on him where he was that he'd had it. And he said, you know what? If I don't leave this country and go somewhere else, Saul's going to kill me. Saul wouldn't have killed him. Couldn't have killed him because he was God's anointed. But David had had it. And so when he goes to Achish. He's there for a year and 4 months. They don't have anybody to support them. If you read the rest of 1 Samuel, when they recover their spoil, they also recover what these Amalekites had stolen from the Philistines. And David goes back and gives a present to a lot of the cities that are in the southern part of Judah. And the reason he does it is that's where he and his men had been hanging out when they were hiding from Saul. Those men had been taking care of him. God had used those people. That's why that whole situation happened between David and Nabal, Abigail's husband, in the first place, because he went up there expecting to get a handout from them for protecting those sheep shearers from any kind of harm, and Nabal ridiculed him, and David about ready to kill him. Everybody else had been taking care of those men, and God would have used those men to continue to take care of David, but David said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of running, and I know Saul won't try to get me down here with the Philistines. Let's leave. So he starts out in a place that's out of the will of God, ends up basically being the secret service for Achish in a battle that's going to take place against his own people. He has not calculated the consequences of going into that battle. If Israel loses in that battle, which they did, and David is on the side of those Philistines, what chance does he have of being on the throne? God's got to send him back. The lords of the Philistines say, you can't stay here. They're only gone 3 days. And if it wasn't bad enough, now his wives are gone, all the kids are gone, all the possessions are gone, and the city that was given to him by Achish has been burned down. You ever been there? with everything you try, everything you touch fails? Will you feel like you've run out of options and you say, you know what? I throw up my hands, can't do this anymore. And then when you expect God to really be there to take care of my poor little child, you find out that all the people that are with you that have been supporting you all this time, and you've been supporting them and leading them, they want to kill you. All 600 of them. And he knew why they were grieved. And he himself was distressed, and he couldn't even mourn over his own loss. For now, what am I going to do? All these, don't you know there's a little bit missing of what went on between David and God in verse 6? I mean, because it goes, David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man his sons for his daughters. Same sentence, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, yeah, that was like an immediate response. Yeah, he just went, oh, I know where I can get some courage. I don't think it was like that at all, do you? It hadn't surely been that way in our lives whenever we've experienced something like this. There was probably a lot of fussing and hair pulling and, you know, all the things I've done for these men, and now look at the way they're treating me. You ever have a pity party like that and a major meltdown? That's what he's going through. And what happens is he runs out of options. There's nobody to kill, nobody to blame, no place to turn. He's out of options. And so what he does is he goes back to the Lord, and when he gets to him, he finds something that he's been needing for a long, long time. You know what it is? Encouragement. Where in the Bible do you find anybody that ever went to the Lord and the Lord discouraged them when they got there? You don't find that. What they do is they go to the Lord, and maybe there's a fussing, and maybe there's a crying. It said they wept so much until they had no more power to weep, and maybe there's a little cussing going on, and a little fist pumping, and a little finger pointing skyward, until you finally are exhausted with all that you can muster in your anger and bitterness and discouragement, and then finally you get down there and you know you're exhausted. It's like a little child throwing a temper tantrum. You're not going to get much out of them while they're still in the screaming fit. When they finally get exhausted, you know, then there's something you can work with. When guys get into a fight in the hockey rink, the referees don't jump in there immediately. They don't want to get hurt. They wait till they're a little bit tired, and then they break them up, get the fight out of them. David had the fight out of him. He went to the Lord, and when he got there, he got encouraged. And it tells me something. You feel yourself under the pressure of distress, questions you can't answer, city burned down, friends turned against you, out of possessions, you got to go to the Lord. And when you get there, you got to stay there until you get encouraged. And then when you're encouraged, and not until then, you'll be able to step into the place that David stepped into, a confidence that you will be able to, without fail, recover all, and then go about your business and come out on the winning side. The step most people leave out of that scenario is they don't stay long enough to get encouraged by the Lord. And they go through bitter and discouraged. And they continue to get beat up. The whole purpose of losing the battle and losing the support is to get to God. There are people right now, today, in this city who have been in this church that ought to be here tonight in prayer meeting, and they're not here because they had this collision and they didn't get encouragement from the Lord. And they're mad at you because, how come you didn't come over to see me about this? Because nobody else can encourage you like the Lord can. Listen, the Bible says David encouraged himself. He didn't leave that responsibility to somebody else or expect somebody else to come and pick up the pieces for him. He said, hey, I have got to do this. And the place to get this is with the Lord. He went to the Lord, his God. Don't you know that was a very personal thing? That's not the Lord God of Israel or the Lord God of the Hebrews. Remember the deal with Goliath? He said, you're coming to me with a spear and with a sword and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel or the God of the Hebrews. Now he says, I'm coming in the Lord, my God. You get a real personal thing going on between you and God, and it changes everything. I really believe that the Lord lets us get to places in our lives where we are so discouraged, so beat up, so out of options, so that we will find His preeminence and encouragement in a way that you never would as long as you can get it somewhere else. You're not going to find this kind of courage in a bottle of booze. You're not going to find this kind of courage in a medicine cabinet. You're not going to find this kind of courage in a relationship with your friends. It doesn't mean that you break off. Listen, these 600 men went with David. Everything was restored. The reason that they were grieved and wanted to take his life is they were as frustrated he was. Caleb told me one time, he said, when I'm in prison, sometimes I'm just standing in line waiting to get my grub like everybody else is, minding my own business, and the guy in front of me, you know, you're kind of going through the line, visiting with him like that, you know, you just happen to brush up against the guy in front of you, and he turns around and whop, right in the nose, and down you go, and you say, what's that for? Well, he just got bad news from home, and he was grieved. So what do? You hit the first thing near you, and David was the target. Those things, listen, are not an indication that God has abandoned you. They're an indication that God is calling you into a deeper walk with Him. And if you fail to take that walk, you'll never recover from it. David recovered all. It spared his family, spared his possessions, it spared everything. But I don't know if you're there, if you've just been there, or if you're getting ready to go there. When you find yourself in that spot, don't forget what David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And then go and make your recovery. Amen? Father, we ask you tonight to please bless the words we've heard. Nothing sophisticated, but sure enough powerful. Help us not to forget this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.